No fair. What parent hasn't heard that from their child? And even if you're not a parent, you've heard a child say it. No fair. Tom invited me to his birthday, invited Susie to his birthday party and not me. No fair. She gets to stay up until 9 o'clock and I don't. No fair. Of course, it's not just children. I wasn't the only one speeding. No fair. I got caught. She got my promotion. No fair. Kingdom of God. No fair. The setting for the parable that we hear this morning is the workers in the vineyard. Pretty easily understandable setting for those first century people to hear about. Very common occurrence. We probably have some of that experience of our own even today. I remember in Morristown, New Jersey, seeing the day laborers standing around the green, waiting early in the morning for someone to pick them up for day work of landscaping or contracting. In Jesus' time, these laborers were in the same boat. They were just out to make a daily wage, waiting in the marketplace for someone to give them a job. And as the story goes, the landowner did arrive there and round up a crew, got himself some laborers really early in the morning, later on went back, noontime, 3 o'clock, picked up some more men who were still waiting for work, and then even 5 o'clock, he was able to engage some folks who'd been waiting all day, not able to find a job. But at this point in the story, at least everyone has something. No one that was hired is going home empty-handed, so they know the day was not a total waste. But at the end of the day, the landowner instructs his steward to pay the laborers, and they start with the last. And can you imagine the ones who worked at 5 o'clock being handed a daily wage, and the ones at 3 o'clock being handed a daily wage, and the people who came at dawn rubbing their hands together. Oh boy, we'll get even more. And then they arrive in the line and receive the same as those who had worked all day long in the heat. And they start to complain. No fair. Now, when I read this parable, I agree. It isn't fair. It's not fair to pay the same amount to someone who worked a couple of hours versus all day long, especially in the heat. And I know it's a normal human reaction, but still, no fair. But we have to go back further than work equals reward in order to find out what Jesus is really trying to tell us in this story. John Claypool was an Episcopal priest and writer, theologian, and he wrote a lot about the parables, and this is what he says about this one. The beginning point of this parable is grace, not entitlement. And the same is true of life as well. He's convinced that we need to know, and Jesus wanted us to know, that every single thing we have, everything we are, our very lives, are gifts of God. And he says if entitlement is where we begin, we evaluate our lives from that perspective. But if grace is where we begin, we can see it in a different light. Sometimes when I want to learn more about a parable, I'll try to find another parable that might inform it. And there is another Jewish parable from the tradition that talks about a Polish farmer. The Polish farmer was a very, very poor man. He had a small farm, tiny little house where he lived with his wife. And he was a faithful man, though. He went to synagogue and he prayed. and he was very faithful to God. So one night, in a dream, an angel of God came and appeared before him. And the angel said, "Son of Abraham, God would like to bless you. God has seen your faithfulness, and God will grant you any three requests that you put before him." And the farmer was shocked out of his mind, but he quickly woke up his wife and told her about the dream, and they talked together for just a moment, and finally she said, "Let's try it out." So they prayed, "Oh God, please send us 1,000 cattle, and I will be able to get out of poverty." And this is when the farmer remembered, oh wait, there was one other thing that the angel told me. He said, "I will be granted three requests. The only condition is my neighbor will receive double what I ask." She said, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter." Well, as soon as the prayer ended, right outside the window, they could hear the noise of animals. 1,000 cattle surrounded their little hut. And for days, the man could not stop praising God. And he was planning on what to do, and he was praising God and thinking about the future. And on the third day, he went up to the top of the hill where he was going to build a new barn. And on the other side of the hill is where his neighbor lived. And he caught sight of his 2,000 cattle. And the smile went off his face. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. He was so upset. But then, a little later, he remembered, well, God said three requests, so he prayed to God for a child. "Oh, God, I would love to have a descendant to carry on the farm and to carry on my name." And within a short time, his wife was expecting. And their months passed by in a flash. They were so happy planning this event. The baby was born, and the next day was the Sabbath. He made his way to the synagogue and stood up and praised God. "Thank you, God, for the birth of my child, my healthy, beautiful child." And he had no sooner sat down in his seat than his neighbor stood up to thank God for the birth of his twin sons. Now the farmer was disturbed beyond belief, and he just couldn't get over it. And he thought and he thought, and that night he said to God, "Oh God, I have one last request. I would like you to gouge my right eye out." And the angel of God was silent. And then finally said, "Oh, son of Abraham, how could you ask for such a horrible thing?" And the man said, "I would gladly give up half my sight so that my neighbor could not look on his blessings." And the angel, of course, said, "This will not be granted, not because God doesn't keep God's promises, but because God is merciful. You have hurt the heart of God, and you have hurt your own heart as well." If you want to be miserable, compare yourself to everybody else. If I compare my compassion to the compassion of Mother Teresa, I come up short. If I compare my wealth to that of Bill Gates, I come up short. If I compare my body to that of Venus Williams, who I think has a wonderful body, I come up short. If you want to be miserable, compare yourself to others. There will always be someone who has more, who has gotten more with less work, who has received more for less investment. That will always be. But if instead I think of the gifts I've been given, starting with my birth, what I had the day before I was born was nothing. Everything going forward was a gift of God. And so the message and the gift of the parable is the truth of Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. We're taught by Jesus to make the Lord's ways our ways, to be more concerned with generosity than with fairness. In God's kingdom, no one is treated fairly, maybe, but everyone is treated generously. And the way we bring that kingdom here is to do God's ways, is to be generous, to give love when a person doesn't deserve it, to stop keeping track of if I have my fair share. And this all happens when we bring the love of God to those around us. You know that we have, in the last couple of weeks, asked you to go deep. We have a well over at the side of the church where folks have been asked to report and talk about what they're grateful for, and a different question every week. The question this week is, describe a random act of kindness that someone gifted to you. Did you continue that spirit? And so this will be my meditation and perhaps yours for this week. I invite you. What is the gift that you have received randomly, perhaps without fairness, but clearly with generosity? And that will lead us to the place where God's kingdom will come. Amen.